So this, for me, is something a little different. When you give yourself to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not know what's ahead of you. We hear, there it goes. But the one thing that we have, and hopefully for all of us, is a burning desire to live for Him, to please Him, in whatever we do. And I know that for me was the first thing when I first heard from God that He was working inside of my heart. I wanted to know more about Him. I wanted to learn. And so this morning I was just thinking, there's a lot of questions that we can ask ourselves and should ask ourselves. And the first one is simply, why are you here? Right where you are. Why are you here? And I think most of us, we would say we're here to worship the Lord. And we're here because we are needy people. We need to hear from God. So you don't need to hear from me, you need to hear from God. And for myself personally, I have to ask myself, why am I here? I was asked to come and speak to you all. So that's not a light thing, and there was a day when I could have just said, well, I can't do that, I won't do that. But since I've given myself to the Lord Jesus Christ to serve Him with my heart, soul, and mind, and body, and everything that I have, then here I am to do Your will, O God. That's my testimony. And God, He will bless that. He takes the weak, and He gives them strength. So that is hopeful for every one of us. We come into situations in life, whether we're a believer or not a believer, it really helps to be a believer, though. That's for sure. We have situations in life. We have someone we can turn to in our time of need. And He may not deliver you out of your situation, but He'll give you grace to stand in your situation. That I have experienced time and time again from God. He has never let me down there. It's been times that you thought you can't take another day of this. You can't bear it one more time. And I know some of you all situations, I don't know a lot of you, and what your situations in life are. But I can tell you this, that Jesus, He is an ever-present in our time of need. He's there. Sometimes He seems like it's, we sang about Him, sometimes there's times of darkness. But if you hold fast to what He has spoken into your heart, then you will overcome. It's our faith that overcomes everything, every situation in life. Now I'd like to read first in Matthew 20, I think. And the other question was, what do you want? I think for most of us, if we're parents and we've lived quite a while, then we end up, it's no longer about what I want. It's, but how can I help? What can I do? But we can be very specific with God in our needs. And I'd like to just read a few examples of people. Let's see if I can keep this thing on my ear while I put my glasses on. But Jesus, He went about, He did many miracles. He told many stories, many parables, you could say. And that's an interesting thing. There are things, it must have been very great to be with Him while He was here on the earth. And He was out on the mountains with thousands of people. Miracles were done, stories were told. And here's one example of, it's not a story, this is an actual happening. It says in Matthew 20, I'll begin in verse 30. Behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And if you've been a Christian for a while, that cry is not unfamiliar with you. You need mercy in your times of trials and in life. But the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And God, he responds to us according to our need. These people, these two were in need. They knew they could get help, and it didn't matter how many people told them to shut up. They had a tremendous need in their heart. So Jesus stood still, and he called them, and he said, What do you want me to do for you? It didn't take them long to respond to that. We want our eyes to be opened. And Jesus, he had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. You can imagine they were very thankful. I don't think any of us, not that I know of, have been blind in that way and couldn't see. We've been blind, I could say for myself, many years. You can read God's word, and it's, okay. But you're not being fed. You're not drawing from the wealth that is in God's word. And if you have that need and that longing in your heart, God, you got to open this for me. I'm not getting it. Seems like everyone else is getting it. They're getting help from your word. I'm not getting it. What should we do then? We can ask. We can begin to cry out to him. And God, he's a very tender mercy. He looks all over the face of the earth to find those who are seeking him. And he strengthens you in your need. And then I'd like to turn to maybe Luke 11. Yeah. It says, so I'll begin in verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? None of us would do that to our kids, right? Then he says, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that is what we need. Without the Holy Spirit, we're left as an empty vessel. We're left, this whole scriptures remain kind of a puzzle to us. Nice words, nice stories. And Jesus, he spoke to the multitudes in parables. And the disciples, they came and asked, How come you speak to them in parables? And some of us may know the answer, but they really didn't have an interest in anything more than that. The disciples, to them, it was also a parable. But they came afterwards with Jesus and they said, What did you mean by the things that you said? So God, he has these laws, actually. It's according to your need, and what you want is what you get. And how much of God you want is what you get. But if you're the needy person, a person like me, I need help. You got to strengthen me, God. I want to bless. I want to build up. I want to encourage my fellow man. And then we become, there's a few stories you can see of the disciples out there on the mountain. And I thought about this when I was given this task. And they had a multitude of people out on the mountain. And then the disciples might have said to Jesus, you know, they're going to need food. You know, shall we send them away to the city to find food? And he said, no, you give them something to eat. Quite a task. How am I going to do that? But then they found the, I think it was five loaves and the two fish, and that was taken care of. But the idea was that we should give them something to eat. And if you have received anything from God yourself, you have something to give your fellow man. You have something to strengthen them with. Because the things that you've received from your Father, they're for everyone who is a believer. You can encourage them with that. You can strengthen them by the things that God Himself has done in you, the experiences you've had in life. You think about that. You have a lot of young people here in your church. God bless the young people with a zeal for Him. And when you ask your Father, when you're in your younger years, you ask your Father to give you His Holy Spirit. He's got to help you. A lot of you, you work with the younger children. We've seen that in the Bible school. With your zeal to help and to bless and to encourage, you're making lifelong connections. And when those young people, those children, they grow up and they come into need, they'll look to you. They'll remember the things you said, even though you don't think they do now. I can remember things from my childhood, way small, and the things that were very significant was someone's kindness to me. You never forget it. But then we have a high calling, you and I, all of us who believe. And I'd like to read something in John 7. This is something for me that has stood out many years when I first heard it. When you think about Jesus, He was going to a feast. At that time, they had feasts, I think, this was 7 days feasting. And beforehand, Jesus, He didn't go right away. His brothers went. And even His brothers didn't believe in Him at that time. And they said, look, You're the one. Why aren't You going up to the feast? You're the one who wants to be known by the other people. And He said, My time isn't right yet. He wouldn't go just because they thought He should go. Jesus, He was very careful with these things. If you think about it, He said, I do not do anything unless I hear from My Father. Think to come into the connection with the Holy Spirit like that, I got a ways to go. But there are things that He writes in your heart and in your mind, just like it's written in the Bible, actually. The days are coming, He said, when I will write My laws in your heart and in your mind, and you don't need anyone to teach you. That Holy Spirit that Jesus sent, He instructs us day by day, minute by minute. Those laws are being written in your heart. Those are not laws you just give out to anyone else. But you know that the Father can write them in your heart and in their heart and in their mind. And they can all be taught of God. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus, after all this feasting, and He had been teaching in the temple, and they marveled at His gracious words, but then He stood up at the last day in verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and He cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. Have you been that thirsty that you need in your daily life, you need to be strengthened by that fountain from above? You will find your wherever you got to go. Or you can even, I found it this way, I work in an office, I sit at a desk, many people around. And you can sit there, and because God is working so powerfully inside, your spirit is burning so that you almost can't act like a normal man. But there's this power in the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't just for Jesus. And He said, he who believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. What a promise. Is that your experience in life? I have to ask myself, is that what people meet when they meet me? We can maybe give a little bit of dry instructions, you could say. Well, the Bible says this, and the Bible says that. But if you Allow yourself to be worked on by God in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your situations, the way God leads you. You come to a fountain within that is help to your fellow man. You can't learn that by studying, but it's in your daily life as the Holy Spirit works in your heart. He deals with you. He strengthens you. He comforts you. Yeah, he exhorts you too. And sometimes you get these chastisements from God. And then it's written in God's word that if you get these chastisements, then God loves you. Then you are a son and a daughter. And he doesn't do it to be mean. He does it to help you do it better. For instance, if you want to bless your wife, you want to love your wife, and you'd see you're lacking that, there's help, tremendous help from the Holy Spirit. He teaches you these things. What about if I have a bunch of kids and I don't know, you know, how it's going to go with all of them? Is there help from God? Yes, there is help from God. Do you do it all perfectly? No, you don't do it all perfectly. Can you do it better? Yes, I can do it better. But when you see your lack, when you see your need, that keeps you at the throne of grace. And who's at the throne of grace? It's Jesus. Yeah. I'd like to read a verse in Hebrews, I think it is. I don't have it written down here. Yeah. It's in Hebrews 7, in verse 25. And this is written about Jesus. It says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. And listen, this is where Jesus is. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. And that's for you, that's for me. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can be like the young people sitting on the front row. You can be Joe over there. Age old, we need help. And Jesus, he's ever ready to help us. We are his prized possession. He wants to give us his kingdom. His kingdom is actually to dwell within us so that out of that inner fount, we can bless those around us. We can actually give help to those who are in need. It wasn't just Jesus who was supposed to do that. That's you and our task and my task. We're able to comfort those who are in any tribulation or any trial or struggle with the comfort that we have gotten ourselves from God. Think to come to that kind of a blessing, to that kind of a fountain. And don't sell yourself short. Don't think that can't happen to you. You who are so weak and so needy, you feel like you don't have anything to give, you can drink from the fountain from above so that out of your innermost being will flow help to your fellow man. Isn't that what we need? Isn't that what the whole creation is longing for? To see you come forth as a son of God? Just attach that to your name for once. I am a child of God. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's my brother. He's my help. We can state those things as a matter of fact. And that faith that it's very small to begin with. I remember sitting there and I would hear this, ask and it will be given to you. But yeah, probably not me. Probably everybody else, but me. I'm such a doubter, and etc. All these excuses and things. You can be transformed from that. And faith, that comes by hearing, and hearing, it comes from God's word. And you think about your brethren. We have these life groups, just trying to think of the right name, that you can go to. I encourage people to do that, actually. But more so, we don't get together to study God's word and things like that, but we get together to share and to encourage and to build one another up. You learn of each other's strength and each other's weaknesses. You can pray for one another. You can strengthen one another. And there's this promise that I've been very slow to get it, really. How many people have to be together before Jesus will show up? Yeah, it says two or three. And if you think about that, you're sitting there in this need. You're in Jesus' name. You know, I want to learn more. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to be able to bless my fellow men. I want to know what you want for me, from me, for life, in my life. You're that needy person, actually. And then it's written about those, actually. The poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God. In your poverty of spirit, if you're such a rich person, you can tell everyone how they ought to live and what they ought to do and all of those things, then the kingdom of heaven is pretty far away from you. But if you're there in your poverty of spirit, in your need and in your longing, Jesus, he sits right in the middle of that. And a tremendous blessed fellowship arrives because of him. He said he would be with us always until the end of the ages. That's here today. And if you're sitting here and you have this tremendous need in your heart, God, I need to be strengthened in my faith. Do you think that God turns away from that? Never. Never. And he can use whatever vessel he wants to strengthen you. I've experienced that throughout my life serving Jesus. After that came, you could hear from even ungodly people. They point you in the right way because they are used as vessels by God to help you. Oh, I thank God with all of my heart. And there's... okay. I'd like to read another one in John 4. There was something that attracted people to Jesus while he was here on the earth. He wasn't like the scribes and the Pharisees who instructed everyone, told them how they ought to be, and they all thought they were better than... I mean, you can see with the one when Jesus healed the blind man, not the ones that we just talked about there. But he ended up going, he was supposed to go show himself to the priests, I believe. I'm not that familiar with the story right now. But at any rate, he told them that just this man Jesus, he made clay and he put it on his eyes, and after that he could see. And they kept asking him. And his parents, they wouldn't even say how he had gotten healed. He said, he's old enough, ask him. Because they might have got in some trouble with in the synagogue too, if they'd have been honest. So then the man said, well, this man, Jesus, did it to me. And then those who were the instructors in the synagogue, the great people, they said, well, we know this man's a sinner. You should give glory to God. And he said, well, whether this man's a sinner or not, I don't know, but I know that he opened my eyes. And then they said, you were altogether born in sin and you're trying to instruct us? When you become just a teacher and a lord over other people, you become somebody great and somebody big. That's how you look down on your fellow man who Jesus died for. So God preserve us from ever coming into that kind of a life. But then it's written in John 4. And I think probably most of you know this story. It's about the woman at the well. And Jesus, he was traveling and he came to this well in Samaria. I'll begin at verse 10. And Jesus answered and said to her, to the woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Have you asked him for living water? I mean, it's okay to do so in your life, you know. It's okay to ask him for these things. He gladly gives them, and he will strengthen you if you're thirsty, if you're needy. If you're full of yourself, then he really can't help you at that point. But if you're needy, then the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. That's almost beyond understanding, I think. For me, I just think, well, the more I drank from that fountain, the more thirsty I became. And it's still that way. But it's a thirst from that fountain, not a thirst for anything else. Nothing else can satisfy you once you've heard from the Father in heaven personally. He's given you a sip of that living water. It says, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. What a calling. It isn't a one-time deal with Jesus. Well, he forgave my sins. Now I got that taken care of. Now I live my life. Unless you want to have it that way. You can have it that way. But you go away empty. You're aimless life. But think that we can have Jesus with us all the time. Just like he said, I will be with you always. I need him all the time. I need to be strengthened by his Spirit. And he cares for us so much. And you can think, well, there's multitudes of people. How can he help everybody? But there is a spiritual world. There is a Holy Spirit who will give you strength, who will instruct you. That doesn't mean we don't get help from other people. Not at all. I thank God that I've gotten help from other people and their examples. And their victory becomes my victory. Their sorrows become my sorrows. That's when you have come to love your fellow man. That's what we're called to, is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then it's written, read a little further on there. He ends up telling the women, you worship what you do not know, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And this is verse 23 and 24. Sorry back there. I'm not used to this. The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Did you ever hear that? That God, he is seeking those to worship him, who do that in spirit, in truth. They have this burning need within. They have been born again of the Holy Spirit. That is what drives them. That's whom God is seeking. And when John the Baptist, when he said, you know, I baptize you with water, but he said, the one coming after me said, he will baptize you with the Spirit and fire. And there's a burning fire inside of you when that happens, so that you may need a new tongue to praise him. But that fire is with you all the days of your life. And then we're not to quench that fire or quench that spirit. We're to live as he instructs us, as he guides us. And it says in verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's quite a task. But the more free you become from yourself, the more free you are to worship God in spirit and in truth. Doesn't just mean on a Sunday. Doesn't just mean when you're here. It means wherever you are. You know that you're a child of God. You know that he is within you. He is working within you. He is strengthening you. He has given you grace to begin to overcome. Where before you had to use a harsh word or things like that, you get grace to shut your mouth and to bless. You don't have to have the last word of an argument any longer. It's like, teach me, bend me, mold me, O God, help me. That becomes your life. And it's written also in John 16. It's so fantastic what God has given us, and it's so, I can only speak, I guess, for myself. It's so amazing how little use we make of what God has given us. It's actually, you think about the apostles after they had received the Holy Spirit. And they took them and beat them and said, you should not speak about this man. And they ended up with this expression, we can't help but speak about the things that we have seen and heard. That's you and I's calling. How's it going? They took note, it says, of these men that they had been with Jesus. Have you been with him? Is that a ritual you do maybe morning, maybe night, maybe once a week? Or is he ever present with you in your spirit? Can you have fellowship with him day in and day out while you're with your fellow man or by yourself? Doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is not limited by anything like that except the barriers you yourself set up. It's written here in John 16, in verse 13, 14, and 15. And this is what Jesus said. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. We have this tendency to make things, he'll tell us, you know, of the church, and push it all away from us, but to pull these things into ourselves, he will tell me things to come. He will take everything that he has received from the Father. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Think what a communion with God that we can have. Jesus, he said, if you open your heart, we will come in and dine with you. Oh, I need more of that, I tell you. The little bits that you've experienced in life are enough to keep your heart burning. You know there's something still a little bit further out for you, which keeps us in the right place. There's no limit to what God can do in you, with you, and for you, except the limits that you yourself place on it. But then we can open our heart to his Spirit. He will guide me into all the truth. There's things I don't know about. How should I handle this situation? What should I do? He will guide me into all the truth. What a blessed rest. And still a burning need within. It doesn't mean that I don't do anything. It doesn't mean that I just sit there and wait for God to do it for me. No, I need help right now, God. You know, I could do it this way or I could do it that way. What's the correct way for me now? That's how you can talk to your Father in heaven. He is your Father, right? He cares for you, right? He has given you his Holy Spirit, right? What more do you want? Make use of it. And there's one other thing I'd like to close with, I guess. I'm supposed to say worship team come up at this time, I think. So it's in Revelation 22. And in verse 16 and 17, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And then he says this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Think what a calling we have over our lives. We sense that from the Holy Spirit, that he draws us. He encourages us. He says it will work for you. It will succeed for you. Just lift up your feeble knees. Begin to believe in me. Take one step in faith. Take two steps in faith. Come, drink from the water. And not only that, it says the ones who hear have that same testimony. How's it going? But I think that, you know, if we sense our need, we sense our poverty, I want more of you, God. I want more of an infilling of the Holy Spirit. You can ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he does that with Spirit and fire. You are allowed to ask. So you have an altar here, and everyone who wants to is welcome to come up. So God bless all of you. God strengthen all of you. If you can feel like your faith is maybe just like a mustard seed. But God, he works with that. He strengthens you day by day, bit by bit, until there is a tremendous tree. It's like your faith has grown and the rest of people get nourishment from your success in the Spirit. So God bless you all.